As it happens, I don't. But I couldn't say the same of Jürgen as we slipped our moorings and headed away from the shore. The powerful engines built to a full-throated roar as Dan opened the throttles, carving our way through a gentle swell. A welcome, cooling breeze rolled across the open deck, supplemented by refreshing flecks of spray. It dispelled the thick, humid air which had enveloped me from the moment I disembarked at the aerodrome. Reassured that I seemed to be feeling no ill effects, despite the sensation of skipping across the waves like a stone on a pond, I approached Jürgen, a trifle warily.
"That clears the sinuses,"
he greeted me, with an appreciative and glutinous sniff, his seasickness having passed. Perhaps being out in the open water helped.
"What do you make of them?"
I asked, keeping my voice low enough to remain unheard by the crew over the roar of the engine.
"They seem to know what they're doing."
Jürgen's gaze was fixed on the scattering of islands all around us. The nearest was only a couple of kilometers away, a surf-fringed beach paralleling our course, while the grey bulk of Tirande still loomed astern and to port like a low thundercloud. Other patches of land could be seen further off, while closer at hand a chain of sandbanks shouldered their way out of the water like surfacing cetaceans. There must have been hidden obstructions as well, because Dan was steering a meandering course across the apparently open sea, with the relaxed confidence of a man who knew these waters well, our wake astern describing a series of arcs like an inebriate attempting to navigate a pavement.
"You can read waves,"
Kalen confirmed, when I brought the subject up a few minutes later. Jürgen had produced a flask of Recath from one of the pouches his webbing was habitually festooned with, and I'd used the excuse of offering him a drink to initiate a conversation, feeling oddly as though I was approaching a fellow guest at a social function where neither of us knew the host. Since my bafflement was evidently clear, he spent the next few minutes pointing out where the swell flattened, indicating an obstruction below the surface, and where the color of the water changed to different shades of bluish-gray, which, to the experienced eye, was a reliable indication of depth.
"What do you think happened to Rom and his men?"
He spat over the side, before making the sign of the Aquila.
"Swam to the Emperor."
I took that to mean that he believed them to be dead.
"But if they're not?"
He shrugged, never taking his eyes off the horizon.
"Out there."
I could hardly argue with that, even though it was less than helpful. We spent the next few hours slaloming between a bewildering number of islands, remaining well out from the shorelines in case any lurking rebels took a pot shot at us. Though we passed a number of settlements, the main signs of life we came across were out on the water. An astonishing profusion of boats shared the narrow seaways between the islands with us. Sturdy little craft with lateen sails, larger caravels laden with cargo, and flat-bottom ferries belching smoke. Dan avoided them all as best he could, while the gunnery crews slouched behind their shields, prepared to bring their bolters to bear at a moment's notice. It gradually dawned on me that they regarded even the most mundane piece of civilian traffic as a potential threat. "We're here." Dan indicated the icon which marked our position, and I raised an eyebrow, surprised by how far we'd traveled.
"Are we pulling in somewhere for the night?"
The young officer nodded.
"There's a mission station on the West Skerries."
He pointed to a small chain of islands in a relatively open portion of the display, which seemed vaguely familiar. After a moment, I recognized them as having been near the edge of the map Vore had shown me.
"Thought you'd appreciate one more night in a proper bed before we got started in earnest."
"Mission station?"
I echoed, masking my dismay at the prospect of being surrounded by Emperor botherers as best I could. Dan nodded.
"The Ecclesiarchy set it up. Small shrine, basic sanatorium, usual thing."
"Bring the Emperor's light to our darkness."
I suppressed a start as he spoke. Somehow Kalen had managed to approach without making a sound, or at least one audible over the rumble of our engine. Dan was surprised too, and made no attempt to hide it, glancing at him with an air of brooding resentfulness.
"You sound like you know it,"
I said, to cover the awkward moment, and he nodded.
"Been a few times."
"Good, then you can guide us in."
"Starting to trust him?"
I asked, as he padded off to the wheelhouse, where another of the crew had taken over the helm. Dahn shrugged.
I want to see how good he really is before it matters.
As we drifted in towards the wooden pilings, my own sense of unease began to increase. Thick purple twilight was beginning to gather in the shadows, and not a single light was showing in any of the buildings.